capable. Both of you can answer this. When both of you found out or heard that there was radar available, reports, and that they were able actually to get them through the Freedom of Information Act, what was your reaction?
Yeah, my first thought was, well, I told you so, but I didn't say that to anybody, even though I thought it. You know, in the F-16s, people was questioning me, well, are you sure it was an F-16? Well, it was several hundred yards away. I'm pretty sure that's what it was, yeah. So it showed those up as well. So it
was fast and low, that F-16.
It reaffirmed everything that we'd been saying.
This may be a silly question, and you can dismiss it if you want, but I wonder what they were going to do if they caught this thing. I mean, they weren't firing at it.
Were they, Steve?
That's a good question. You know, it seems to be able to move around the area. We have a nuclear plant over in Glenrose near where I live, and also you have the president south of us in Crawford at that time. So it was kind of moving around Texas with impunity, as I've heard that phrase used before, so. I don't know what they would have done. I don't think
it seems like the military had a, for lack of a better definition, a breed of familiarity about this incident. I mean, they were chasing it, but they weren't firing at it. Maybe they couldn't catch it. I don't know.
One thing that the reason I thought there might have been some sort of familiarity is because at 8 o'clock when the data ran out, this thing was flying unimpeded without a transponder into restricted airspace at Bush's ranch in Crawford. And just a few months before that, Robert Powell had spoken with a pilot who accidentally just crossed the corner or the edge of that, and he was brought down, you know, put in handcuffs and hauled away and got a hefty fine. So that made me think, well, they knew what it was. I mean, you know, they weren't worried about it evidently, because here we have 10 F-16s in the air, and that's what I was going to bring up a while ago. At first, you know, we were told that the airbase in Fort Worth didn't have anything in the air. And then 2 weeks later, they said, oh, we made a mistake. We had a communication, an internal communication error, and we had 10 of these things up there. So, gosh, who knows? Were they familiar with it, or was it something they knew they couldn't do anything about? That's just speculation on my part.
So, Steve, they definitely were not shooting at it, right?
I don't think they could get close enough to shoot at it. I think it was...
Oh, so you think that was the deal?
Where they wanted it to be. Of course, you're in a rural area, and I don't know about jets shooting at flying objects. I don't know if that's proper protocol, but then it sure created a disturbance in the world.
Angela, you're a good journalist. I know you probably got on the phone and started contacting the military.
I called several, and it seemed logical to call Dyess in Abilene and Fort Hood and different places like that. But I did get with a public information officer at the Naval Air Base in Fort Worth, and he was a really friendly guy, and said he didn't know, but he would get back with me if they had anything in the air. And he speculated that what people had seen would be two airliners with the sun glinting off of them. And I did a story about that, about what he thought it was. And it took 2 weeks for him to put out a press release only to the radio stations. Not to me, not to the TV stations, you know, who are already covering it. And I started getting phone calls, and I knew nothing about it. Angela, what do you think about the military backtracking on their statement? And I was like, what? And I started checking my email. I had nothing from this guy. I tried calling him. I finally got through to him, and his demeanor had completely changed. he was no longer the friendly, jovial type guy that I had been talking to. And any question that I would ask him, he would say, "Miss Joyner, I'm sorry, all I can say is," and he would start reading that press release. So I'd go, "Come on, Carl." He was Major Carl Lewis. "Carl, how do you lose, 10 jets for 2 weeks? What's going on here?" "Miss Joyner, I'm sorry, all I can say is," and he would read that. It didn't matter what I asked him. And it, to me, I felt like somebody was in his office with him, or he had really been called to task and said, somebody said to him, "You can only read what's on this piece of paper."
Now, both of you were going after this story with a vengeance, and I understand that. It's a story of the century, as Richard Dolan said earlier. And the point is, you know, Steve, you even put your telephone number in the newspaper article. So you guys were interested.
Yes, that's correct. We haven't got any concrete evidence other than our radar reports, and we have a few more witnesses that has came forward that has seen it, still nothing. Of course, the military was telling us all different stories, and, you know, like the reflection of the high-altitude jet airliners, and I had kind of a smart-aleck comment back to them, which I'm sure they didn't appreciate. They came back to Angela and said, "Well, we think it's a refueling tanker." And I said, "Well, it sure could be a refueling tanker, but it's not from one of ours or anything." Yeah. And then on the 10th day, they finally came out and said, "Well, gee, we did have the 16s in the area." So, you know, no, as far as what happened, I don't know. I've even called President Bush on Channel 8, you know, Channel 8 news down here. "Is there anything you want to say?" And I said, "Yes, please, Mr. President, the cat's out of the bag, the jig's up. Tell us what's going on." And so we've appealed to the President of the United States and got no answers. Just seems to try to explain it away is what they was trying to do, but there was not much explanation you could tell all these people that actually seen it.
Either of you seen anything like this since?
I haven't.
So as far as both of you know, this particular craft has not been back.
One thing, let me say this. I would say yes, something has been back here because I've done a couple of more, I did do a couple of more stories the fall of 2008. And as soon as something started happening again and people were talking about this and reporting it, we started seeing flares dropped here like crazy. I've talked to the old timers. They've never seen anything like these flares before. They were dropping them when we were in burn bans, and it was just incredible. Now, I will say that honest people make honest mistakes, and there were some people that were reporting UFOs, and what they were actually seeing was flares. But that's okay. If you've never seen these fireballs, that's what they look like, the flares in the air, they're pretty spectacular. But at the same time, there were reports of other type objects. I remember one woman I talked to had seen something, and there were several people with her, and I talked to two or three of them, and she said it reminded her of a carousel turned over on its side, the way the lights on a carousel, a child's carousel at a carnival would look. But at the same time, that night, there were also flares. But the flare thing really threw a lot of people. People were pulling over on the side of the road, or they would slow down and be going 10 miles an hour in the highway, and were really, you know, it was a traffic hazard, actually.
Well, we remember the Phoenix lights and all the flares that were suddenly being dropped out there by the Air Force. So the question here, Angela and Steve, is you think this was a subterfuge to divert people's attention, or were they looking for something?
In my opinion, I believe they... They were dropping the flares at the same time something else was here. And it looked like a cover-up to me. That's really what it looked like.
A little effort and redirection. The Air Force is pretty famous for that. Steve, how far is the Crawford Ranch from where you saw this this thing?
Probably about 45 or 50 miles. Just a moment or two at the speed they was traveling.
Angela, did you check with the Secret Service or somebody down at the Crawford Ranch or in Crawford itself to see if somebody saw something?
Well, I know that President Bush was not at the Crawford Ranch that particular evening. So the airspace, the restricted airspace got smaller, but it was still restricted. I did not find out anything about any kind of alert. We did find two witnesses that had seen something in that Crawford area. Since that time, those people have moved or changed their phone number or something. I can't get back in touch with them. But they were, it was a married couple, and they were out for a bike ride and had seen something that seemed similar to what people here saw. I really hate that we lost touch with them, because I was going to get them, back in the fold, but apparently they've moved or something.
Angela, maybe they'll hear the show and get in contact with us. You never know. Sometimes it takes a break to get a break. Angela Joyner, you're back speaking at UFO conferences. Don't you have one coming up pretty soon?
Well, the first speaking engagement that I have is in San Antonio on March the 3rd. I'll be speaking for Texas MUFON. And the keynote speaker there is going to be Travis Walton. So I am really excited about that. I can't wait to sit down with Travis. I've talked to him on the phone, interviewed him on the phone, and emailed back and forth with him. But it would be my first time to meet him in person. And Robert Powell will also speak there, and it'll be the first time that he's given a presentation on the radar report. And there are some others, but their names don't come to me right at the moment. And then the next thing that I will be doing will be in May in Glen Rose, Texas, and that is Steve's home. And he's in on this, too.
Yeah, Paula Harris is involved in that conference, and you're heading a panel. Who else is going to be on the panel?
The panel will be Steve, Ricky Sorrells, Constable Leroy Gayton, and Robert Powell.
Constable Dayton, is he the guy with the radar gun?
No. That is an officer that I refer to as Officer X. He feared for his career and didn't want to use his name.
So there was a lot of pressure on local law enforcement not to give much information out about this thing?
Yeah, in local law enforcement, yes. Now, the constable, he has a different situation. He is elected by the people. His boss or his bosses are the people of the community. So there's not really anybody that has a thumb on the constable that can tell him, do or don't say this, But the other officers, there were three of them that saw it on January the 8th, and one was on duty, one had just gotten off duty and was on his way home, and one was barbecuing on his back porch. So they weren't even together, but they got together later and after this came out in the paper and started talking, and they even put together a little composite drawing. And you can see that on my website, angelajoyner.com. And the consensus was, we'd better not talk. We could suddenly end up with terrible hours and no days off or something like that. So,
Steve, have you paid a price for going public?
At first we had some speculation that we all could have been crazy, I guess you could say, but once so many people came out and said what they saw, you know, they, even the people that were skeptics even turned them around because they said, well, gee, my friend over here saw it, you guys saw it, and obviously there was something going on. So, no, I haven't really paid the price or been on my own boss. So, I would like to fire myself sometimes, but I don't do that. So,
I understand.
It's all good. We're trying to get, we're just trying to get some information and what we have, because these sightings are not just Stephenville. This is one of the most significant sightings because of multiple witnesses and radar reports. But actually, people see something all over the world, and there's a lot of people with a lot of pictures and cameras of it out there. So, you know, we feel like we deserve to know what's going on.
And both of you, I assume, feel that the Stephenville UFO was not a government plane. It was from somewhere else.
The government wishes they had one of these.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
it
could be. We don't know what it was. You know, we're not saying it was extraterrestrial. I'm sure when the stealth bomber came out, there were some sightings, I mean, that were classified as unidentified or unknown because, you know, it was so awesome looking and so different. If that is technology, you know, that we have, I could sleep better at night, I think.
Time's about up, and Angela, I must say, it's a joy getting you on the air finally. We've known each other for 4 years. It's about time I put you on, huh? Steve or Angela or both of you, any closing comments?
I've still got the same saying we've always had, you know, we're adults, we're grown. Tell us what's going on so we can deal with it. If it's something we should know about, let's tell us, you know. These things have been seen all the way in biblical terms, even back in Ezekiel, if you'll read chapter 10 there, for the Christian listeners, it tells about it. So we'd like to know if they know something.
It's been an extraordinary time in my life. I don't regret any of it. I've made so many wonderful friends in the UFO community, just really reached out and embraced me, and I really appreciate each and every one that helped me out, because definitely I was a newbie, and I think I will remain interested for the rest of my life.
And I'm glad to see you back on the campaign trail, so to speak.
Well, I did take a break. At the end of April, I stopped my radio show and I stopped doing any interviews, but Paula Harris is pretty hard to say no to.
Yes, she is. She's a great gal, and you guys have a great conference, and I'll be talking to you off and on, Angela. We stay in contact. And Steve, it's nice to meet you.
Good deal. Thanks for having us, Jerry. Y'all have a good week.